Okay, so good morning, everybody. We've got a new series starting today, Fruitful Lives, Fruitful Church, and we're going to be doing this for several weeks. I don't know, we're not very organized here, so we haven't got like a set amount of weeks. We're just going to see how long we run it for, aren't we, Bob, and see how long everybody wants to do it for. But the idea is that we want to have fruitful lives ourselves, but we want our church to be fruitful as well. And we often talk about wanting to see results, wanting to see growth, wanting to see a church that is effective, wanting to see our lives lived in a way that is effective. And ultimately, we want to see fruit. And it might sound a bit silly, but if you want to keep seeing fruit, you need to be fruitful, right? Because it sounds silly because, of course, if you want to see fruit, you need to be fruitful. But actually, sometimes we kind of tend to want to see the fruit and want to see the results without being willing to allow God to really work in our lives and to make us fruitful. And what often happens with kind of businesses, organizations, even individuals who just want to be productive in life, is that they kind of end up taking one or two, or kind of veering towards one or two of approaches. One is being results driven, and the other one is being process driven. So if you're results driven, you're more kind of looking to every result that happens, you know, trying to get a result, trying to find the best way of doing that. If you're process driven, then no matter what happens, you have your process. You keep working at it in the hope that there will be results from it as well. And sometimes what happens is, the danger is when organizations tend to be too results focused. They end up being so results focused that they kind of forget about the process. That as soon as one bad thing happens, suddenly they start panicking and changing everything rather than just trusting in the process. And so as we want to see fruit in our lives and in our church, the danger is that we look to the results, we look to every individual moment and every individual kind of dip in life and start to think that we have to change something. We've got to try and fix everything really quickly. So what I want to start this morning is by asking us, what do we mean by fruit? And I just want a couple of people maybe just to speak out. What do you think of when you think of fruitfulness in your own life or in our lives? What do you think it means?
Something good.
Something good, yeah. Anybody else?
Growth,
yeah. Anyone else? Things that carry on afterwards, so not just a quick one-off, but you're going to keep going, yep.
Results,
yeah. Abundance, I like that one. I like all of them, by the way. I didn't just like that one. I like all of them. Well done, everybody. Good job. Any more? It's fine. Okay, good. Yeah. So when we think about church as well, you know, we want to see fruitfulness in our church. And the thing that makes us kind of fruitful, if we're looking at Horizon right now, we want to grow disciples, right? We want to grow people. We ourselves want to grow. We're on a journey with God and we want to grow. We want to see God working in our lives. You know, Melissa, that thing that she shared earlier, it's a shame she's not here today. I don't know if she's watching on Zoom, but it'd have been great to have celebrated with her as well. That's fruitfulness, right? She's come to this church and she started to explore a relationship with God. And through relationship with people, she started to see God's love as well in her own life. That is fruitfulness. We like to see that kind of thing. People get up and do what I'm doing right now. We talk, right? We want those talks to be fruitful. We want it to be effective, to affect people's lives. If someone gets up and every week we get up and do a talk and it doesn't make a difference to anybody, then that's not fruitful. When we have worship and we have times where we pray for each other, that being fruitful means we're not just singing the songs, but actually that's helping us to guide us closer to God, together and individually as well. And then we have, you know, life groups. So there's quite a few people in our church that maybe have joined in the last year or so, and we have these life groups that meet every 2 weeks. It's just a little group of people that do life together. And that is a place where we see fruit, because as you do life together, someone says, you know what, I'm having a difficult week this week, and they pray for each other and they support each other, and you see fruit. Then we have the community. You know, there's a lot of exciting things happening at the moment through this church, and we're starting to have more of an impact. And one of the things that I didn't share this morning in the praise points, but is a praise point, is that we've got some funding through Community Action Sutton, kind of towards the end of February. And basically from them we started doing more things because of the funding. So we did our neighbours meet up where we kind of sent some welcome packs out to the neighbours and had pizza here. We had the Easter Messy Church. We had our Mother's Day thing for the coffee morning. You know, various different things happening. And they asked us for a report just to see how it's going. So I sent something off this week and we got a report back just to say that the whole of the staff in that office had seen it and were really pleased with what we're doing, really impressed with it. And so, you know, that is fruit. We're having an impact directly into our local community. But also, we want to see people come to know God as right. We spoke about Melissa earlier, coming to this church and starting to get to know God. That's what we want to see, right? Because we know how much God has made an impact in our life. We want him to have an impact in other people's lives too. Then we have children and youth, right? So we've got all our children out there right now. We want those children to have fruitfulness in their life. Our prayer for our children out there is that they are well-grounded, that as they're prepared for life, you know, as they go to school, as they live their lives at family with their families at home, that they are well-grounded, that they know the love of God, that they're set up well for life, so that later on in life, they're suddenly not just going to abandon it all or dip off because there's fruitfulness in their lives. And my heart at the moment is, you know, we've got those kids out there that are kind of mainly under 11 years old, and we want to see those children as they grow up in a few years' time develop into more of a youth group, you know, to have something for them as well. And the danger is that if in 2 years' time we've not really got anything for those older kids, then I would say we're not being very fruitful in terms of our children's work, because it's okay doing stuff for the younger ones, but you need something that's going to keep them going throughout the whole of their childhood up into adulthood as well. And so fruitfulness for our church is what that looks like. So we know what the fruit is, right? We've kind of talked a little bit about fruit in our lives there, fruit in our church. We know what the fruit is. But the question is, the bigger question is, how do you become fruitful? So how do we become fruitful in our lives? And how do we become fruitful in our church? And this is kind of, in some ways, the big question that people ask in the world is, what is the key to success? Right? If you go on any YouTube video, you're watching something online, there's going to be an advert that comes up at some point that says, I found success. This is how you can find it too, you know? I had it the other day when I was putting something on YouTube and it said, what was it? It was something about how you can become a millionaire working like 2 hours a day, you know? And basically, you know, and so I've watched it out of interest, just thinking, where's this going to go? And then it's eventually like, sign up to my thing, and if you do this and go on this course, then I'm going to make you a millionaire. And all you have to do is work 2 hours a week and, you know, all these things. And so I thought, okay, let's see where this goes then. You know, this kind of, what's the key to success? And it gets everybody kind of, you know, it gets their attention, right? When someone says that, you think, could be right. This could be the guy. This could be the guy that knows it. All the other ones might not be, but this one, he might know how to become a millionaire working 2 hours a day. And so I looked up, you know, what's kind of the quickest way to get rich. And the first thing that came up was 3 steps to be rich, right? First one is make sure you get the right education and training, okay? So I thought, okay, well, right, so if you've got kids and you're paying rent and just about having enough to make it by each month, then you've just got to go back to your childhood and try and get the right education. You know, it doesn't quite match up, right? The second one was work harder than your colleagues and ask for a pay rise. Ah, I didn't realize it was that simple, actually. Shame I didn't know that, you know. If only we'd known that's what you have to do. Third one, once you've done that, get a second job. Simple, right? There you go. Three steps. Guys, come on. We can all do it, right? Problem is even if we were able to follow that, I think you'd soon find that your next kind of Google search would be three steps to stop your kids from hating you. 3 steps to save your mental health. You know, you'd kind of sort out the making money bit, but you tire yourself out so much, you'd be not investing in other areas. That's because you're results-driven rather than process-driven, right? The result is make money. The process has gone out the window. Sometimes we kind of have the tendency to do the same thing in church, right? We want to see fruitfulness, we want to see results, and therefore we think, what can we do? Let's kind of like, you know, everyone runs around like headless chickens. As soon as we see the children's work, you know, we talked about that earlier, we see the issue there, and we go, right, let's all run over there, but then suddenly we're neglecting another area. And the mistake we often make is, in our approach to fruitfulness, is 2 things. Either we think that we need to find a quick fix, So that kind of get-rich-quick scheme. Or we go for, we kind of think it's unreachable, you know? We can't become fruitful. Like that thing about education and training, you know, if you want to look up how to become rich and the first thing it says is education and training, for some people, it's unattainable, right? I've not got the time, I've not got the money. I didn't do it enough in my childhood. I didn't have the opportunities that other people might have had. What I want to say this morning is that you don't have to be a mature Christian to be fruitful. You don't have to be a veteran. And I'm not really a gardener, all right? I really, really don't do gardening. And it surprises me just how little my knowledge of gardening is. Like, you could ask me the most basic questions and I would just sound like an idiot. I don't know. And last year, when Ari came home from preschool, she had like a little tomato plant that they'd given her. And so she was like, oh, can we plant it in the garden? So I was like, oh, okay, fine. So, you know, I've got the strimmer out, right? And we have this lovely patch of weeds in our garden, right? Which I've spent a long time growing, actually. And so I got the strimmer and kind of made a little hole where the weeds are. So there's a bit of earth that you can see. And I did pull up a few of the weeds to kind of uproot them. I know that, you've got to uproot the weeds, right? And what I did is I planted this tomato plant in the ground. And this was probably about this time last year. And the thing that amazed me... There we go, someone's laughing at me already. The thing that amazed me is how quickly, maybe it was a bit earlier in the year, how quickly it grew, right? I was like, I didn't know what I was doing, I just put it in the ground. And suddenly, the next thing I know, there's like tomatoes coming off it. Maybe it was beginner's luck. But you know, things grow quickly. And actually, when we set our lives on God, we invite God into our lives, it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 30 years or whether you've just come to know God now, because he can bring fruitfulness. So what I want to look at this morning is, we've got this series that we're starting, The Fruitful Lives, Fruitful Church, and I kind of want to do like a bit of an overview, just kind of go over everything really quickly so that we can then go deeper into things in the next few weeks. And the first thing I want to look at is the story of fruitfulness in the Bible, because we're looking at this series, right? But this isn't just a kind of, we've decided that we want everyone to do more, we were told we want to be more effective, and therefore we're going to talk about fruitfulness. This is a deeply biblical concept. This is a deeply godly concept. It's fruitfulness is something that's talked about from Genesis 1, from the first page of the Bible, through to Revelation 22, the last page of the Bible, and a lot in between as well. And so I want to take us right to the beginning, and the first point is Genesis 1, where God creates the world, and he says, on the third day, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. So you can hear it straight away there that God says that he produces vegetarians? No, he didn't produce vegetarians at that point. That was day six. Vegetation. He says seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it. So already there's a fruitfulness spoken right from the beginning on the third day. Then on the fifth day, he says, let the water teem with living creatures and birds in the sky. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and the skies. On the sixth day, then God makes people. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. That was the vegetarian bit. So right from the beginning, we have this idea that God creates the world to be fruitful and he creates us to be fruitful as well. And there's studies in neuroscience that look at our kind of nervous system and our brain and the things that make us as humans function in the way that we do and what we do. And what it said is that it's human instinct to want to see growth and development, right? So the thing that helps us to survive and thrive as a species is a desire for growth and a desire for more, to the point where satisfaction isn't actually found just in reaching a goal, but it's actually found in the seeking of that goal. So, in other words, the chase is more satisfactory than the catch. And I'll give you an example, right? A few years ago, we'll all remember it, England were in the Euros, got to the final against Italy, And, you know, there's been this build-up. I've been wanting England to win a World Cup or a trophy for a long time, but it's always felt like this thing that was quite unattainable because I was a 90s kid, right? So we very quickly had it drummed out of us through a few disappointing tournaments that England didn't win things. And then just as we kind of had a little bit more hope, maybe in 2010, we had one of our worst ever performances and went straight out of the World Cup then as well. So we finally get to the final and I'm thinking, like, this is it. Dream come true. We might actually win this. Didn't think we definitely were because I wasn't that arrogant, but we might win it. Final, any chance of doing it. But I woke up on the morning of the final and I actually felt a little bit flat. Call me sad, I actually think this much about this stuff. But I suddenly realized that even if we won it, it's not exactly going to be life-changing for me, you know? As much as I love watching football, as much as I want my team to win, I thought, you know what, it'll feel good for a moment, for a couple of days, my life will then just continue as normal, and we'll say, oh, that was nice, wasn't it? Remember that time when we won? That was nice. And when we go to the next World Cup and we lose the first three games and get knocked out, everybody will just start complaining again, and we'll be rubbish again. And so this study that I looked at, it says that we're never satisfied with just reaching a goal. We always then want the next thing. And you might notice that in life, right, where maybe you think, this is the thing that I need to make me happy. You know, I need this job, I need a car, I need a house, I just need a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Whatever it is, we always think that's the thing that we need to be happy, and then we get it, and then we go, yeah, actually, I would like a holiday as well, you know. I'd like the next thing as well. We always want the next thing. And if you think about an Olympic athlete that doesn't, when they compete, they don't just win one medal and then think, that's it, now I've won my medal, that's it, done, sorted. Or they don't just break a world record and then stop. They then try and beat their own record and try and keep going and keep going. And actually, if they did just stop at the first kind of trophy or medal, then they probably wouldn't be Olympic athletes because they would have won it when they were younger and that's it. And they would have just said, right, that's it, sorted for life. But God created us with this deep desire to grow and to see fruit, right? So we got that from the Bible, but also from neuroscience as well. That in us is this desire for fruit. And we see that a little bit later in the Bible. My second point is there's the same blessing that God speaks over creation. He says, be fruitful and increase in number. He says that again with certain key people in the Bible, right? So he says it with Noah. He says it with Abraham, with Jacob, with Moses, with the people of Israel. He says, be fruitful and increase in number. It's actually a command, but it's also a blessing as well. With Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, he says, all people on earth will be blessed through you, right? So Genesis 1 talks about being fruitful. They then say about each of these individuals, be fruitful and increase in number. But here it's saying, not only will you be fruitful, but the whole earth will be blessed through you. And with Jacob as well, in Genesis 35, verse 11 to 12, it says, God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you as well. So Jacob also has this kind of promise and this command to be fruitful. But there's a promise in there that fruit will come from him, that a nation will come from him. And that happened with Jacob, right? Jacob's son is Joseph. Joseph, who was left for dead by his brothers and then went and became a servant somewhere. And before you knew it, suddenly he was mixing with royalty. And so you see this journey where God says you're going to be fruitful. And one of the first things that happens is his son is almost killed and then disappears, but God is still working through it. So what we get with fruitfulness is that it's a life journey. It's not just those results. It's not just you're always going to be fruitful and keep being fruitful. It's actually in life, you're going to have your ups and downs, and there's going to be some really big downs, but God's going to work through your life if you keep with him to be fruitful. So that's the next point. Fruitfulness is a journey. And, you know, Friday morning, I was sitting in a coffee shop, drinking a coffee because I needed something to stimulate me. And I also needed a reason to sit in the coffee shop. And I was working on this talk. And then I got a text from Lydia. And she said, how was Jacob's poo yesterday? I went, oh, right, yeah, trying to work on a talk, being asked about the contents of my son's nappy. The thing is, when me and Lydia were dating, when we first got married, life was great, you know, we went to restaurants, we had lots of fun, results, it's like, yes, we're having lots of fun, we're enjoying life. And then you have kids, and the result is, you're on a Friday morning, having a coffee, trying to keep yourself awake, and you're getting a text about your son's contents of his nappy, because he has a stomach ache, and she's wondering if he's okay. And you think, you know what? Life's a journey. And if I was just focused on results, the results right now aren't great, but the process is, right? Because I see also what happens with my son as well. I got the good times as well. So moving on to the next point, if we could please, Ola, where are we, number three? Yes. So the people of Israel, right, people are created by God to be fruitful. Then certain people are told, because they're committed to God, they're told, you're going to be fruitful. And then in Isaiah 5, God speaks about a vineyard. And he says, what more could I have done for my vineyard than I've done for you? This is Isaiah 5, verse 4. When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Right, so it's harsh words here. Because the people of Israel, this fruitfulness has been spoken through them, created for them, and then they get to this point, and all they're doing is producing bad fruit. So you're like, oh, hang on a sec, God promised that fruit was going to come through them, but they're producing bad fruit. Then we get to Isaiah 27, the next point, please, Ola, where God speaks about a vineyard again, but this time he promises that through this vineyard, all of the world will see fruit. He says this, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. And later on in verse 6, it says, in days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. So what he's saying is that they produce bad fruit, but that promise still stands. He's not going to let them down. That promise still stands. He's going to bring fruitfulness to the whole world through them, despite their bad fruit. What that tells us is that when we're looking at fruitfulness, this is our blueprint here in the Bible. And our identity here is those people, the people of Israel. So our identity is that we will produce bad fruit sometimes. We will get it wrong. We will make mistakes. But God's promise isn't solely dependent on us. He's bigger than our mistakes. And he's going to continue building that fruitfulness. And what that shows us is that, you know, I talked earlier about the impossible task, that sometimes we either see it as like there's a quick fix, or it's just too hard to attain. Only the best people, only the people that are really holy end up being like that. What this tells us is that everybody ends up in that point where they produce bad fruit. Everybody ends up in that point where they make mistakes, but God is going to continue bringing fruit through them. And then there's the fulfillment of that promise, right, the next point. So through Abraham, God says, all nations will be blessed through you, through the fruit of you. So all of your descendants, the nations will be blessed. Then in Isaiah 27, like I said, he said, through Israel, all the world will be filled with fruit. And we know the answer to that, right? We know what that is. That's Jesus. That through those descendants, through their children's 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 children, eventually it gets to Jesus. And he is the fulfillment of fruit that goes to the whole world. And this is what Jesus himself says in John 15. He says that he is the true vine. And he also says, remain in me and you will bear fruit. So we've gone from this promise that you'll be fruitful and this effort for Israel to be fruitful to the failure, to a promise again, to actually the fruit comes through Jesus. And that's what we need to remember, is that as we draw close to God, as we draw close to Jesus, that's when we bear fruit. And it says the same in Galatians 5. These things, we're going to be going into them in more detail in the next few weeks. But, you know, it talks in Galatians 5 about keeping in step with the Spirit. And it talks about, as it says that, it then says that you will get fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So as you keep in step with God, you see fruit as well. And then the final point from the Bible, the kind of overview, is Revelation 22, the last page of the Bible, where it says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. And just as I'm ending, Steve, if you could come up and start playing, that would be great. So what we have here is, right at the end, this idea that there will be a completion of that fruitfulness, right? When it talks about the river that bearing the tree bearing 12 crops, yielding every month, it's showing that this is a completeness. It's not striving for fruit, but it's just fruit that's always going to be there. And it also talks about the leaves of the trees are healing for the nations. So whatever fruitfulness we see or don't see in our own lives and in the lives of other people, in our churches, we know that God's creation, his promises for the fruit of the world, will ultimately be fulfilled by what it says in Revelation. And so a quick overview of that as we look at it. That, you know, the world was created, people were created to be fruitful. We have this desire in us for growth. We have this desire in us to see fruit. And therefore, we have a desire in our churches to see fruit as well. Then there's the people of God that God said, you're going to be fruitful. Be fruitful in increasing number. Be fruitful. And that's what God says to us, right? He says, be fruitful. That's a command and a blessing to each of us. But we need to know that fruitfulness is a journey. What I want to just do is pray for a moment as well as we go through this. To those people who maybe need to hear that they're created to be fruitful, that this is what God created us to be like. It's not just for certain people, but it's for each of us. Maybe they need that promise, you know, God says, be fruitful to those people, and that understanding that fruitfulness is a journey, that actually it's not just about the results, it's not just about the best moments, but it's about the journey that we go through. Sometimes we produce bad fruit. Maybe you're in a place where you feel like there's been a lot of that recently. Maybe you're in a place where you've kind of wondered whether anything good will come of it. But that same promise that God said before, that same purpose as he created you, still stands. And maybe you need to come to Jesus to recognize that stands because of Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you've been trying to find fruitfulness in other ways, but really what you need to do is draw close to Jesus, to keep in step with the Spirit. And sometimes it feels like once you're out of step, it's much harder to get back in again, like that slippery slope. But it's not. Because God calls you. He created you for this. And maybe you need that reminder that in all the ups and downs of life, of all the unfulfilled promises that it feels like we have, of all the fruit that never quite comes to fruition, that actually God's plan is greater than that. God's plan is greater than just our life. That we can see from the beginning of the Bible to the end how he's bringing all things into that fruitfulness, how he's bringing healing to people, healing to the nations. Well, what I end on is just a prayer based on Isaiah 32, verses 15 to 20, where it says this: the Spirit is poured on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. The Spirit is poured on us from on high, the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. Maybe in terms of that fruitfulness, you feel like you're in that desert place right now where there's nothing. But God, you know, in the same way I talked about with me not knowing anything about gardening, planting that tomato plant and seeing lots of tomatoes, God can turn the desert into a fertile field, and not just a fertile field, but a forest. And this is what it says after that: the Lord's justice will dwell in the desert, his righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace, its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Though hail flattens the forest and the city is leveled completely, how blessed you will be, sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkeys range free. So the challenge this morning is, where's God calling you to be fruitful? each person here can respond to that. Each person here can be fruitful. We've seen it happen throughout the Bible with people in all different walks of life. And we've seen it happen today. We've seen it happen in our church. We've seen it happen in other people's lives, in their testimonies. So Lord, I just pray we offer ourselves to you. We pray as we continue this series each week that you just show us more and more how to set our lives up, how to set our church up in a way that will be fruitful, that will glorify you. Help us to just focus on you, not to focus always on the results, but to focus on the process, that as we trust in you, you will continue to grow us, continue to develop us. I pray for those right now that just, they want to get closer to you, they want to know you, but they don't know how. I pray that that is enough, just that desire for you to come closer to them. And I pray right now, Lord, draw close to those people, draw close to their hearts, comfort them, speak to them. May they feel your warmth inside their heart as well. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.